Well, I want to share a word with you this morning, and it's a word that's been kind of ringing in my mind that I just felt like I had to just go to it and share it with you. But I want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I want to read to you just a few verses here, just beginning in verse 37. Or we can go back to 36. And it basically says this, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know," think about this, "did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." This is a powerful testimony or message that Jesus is giving about his coming, his return, and what is going to be that some of the signs, what's going to happen, how our culture is going to resemble that which was alive and at present during the days of Noah. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard alarms go off that startled you? Have you ever been doing your own thing or just caught up in something, you're at a location, whatever, and then just something begins to sound and it grabs your attention? How about a police car? How about a police siren? Has any of you heard that? Hopefully not coming up behind you. Hopefully it was maybe coming in front of you or to the side of you, but not coming after you. But when you hear that, it wakes you up, doesn't it? It causes you to come to attention, okay? How many of you remember hearing a train whistle, a train horn? That's pretty real, isn't it? You're coming up to a railroad track, and if you hear that sound, it's going to grab your attention. It's going to do something to harness you. How about, have you ever heard or watched a movie or something? Maybe you've been on the ocean or a lake or something yourself, and you heard this sound. What sound is that? That's a foghorn. When it's foggy and vision is limited, you don't know which way you're going. You're not sure what is out there in front of you on the ocean or out on out in a bay area or whatever. You listen for a sound that might give you a warning. You know, warnings are all out there. How about this next warning? Anybody know what that sound is? Huh? That's a nuclear warning. It's also used for fires, but it's also a nuclear warning. And so you want to pay attention to that one, right? How about this last one? Is that an alarm? That's a woman yelling. That's a woman screaming. We have alarm systems built in, don't we? We want to grab somebody's attention. Something's happening. A woman is being accosted. They're trying to rob her, or they're trying to pull her into a side alley. And she has a way of calling out an alarm by the scream. But all these ought to bring us to attention, right? They ought to make us forget for that moment everything else that we're doing and everything else that surrounds us. And we look for what direction that sound is coming. We want to focus in on what's happening in that moment because the alarms are sounding. That's an important thing today, folks. How many of you ever ignored an alarm? Some of you are being honest. Some of you are just saying, "I don't want to answer that." Sometimes we even ignore the alarm when we hear it. I've been in locations before when an alarm goes off, everybody just looks at each other. They look at each other first to say what's going on, and then they look at each other to see if anybody's going to respond. There are people that can be in a restaurant or a theater or something, and an alarm goes off, and they'll look at each other. If nobody gets up, they just sit there in the midst of an alarm. They will ignore an alarm rather than pay attention to it, even if it's a false alarm. You have to pay attention to the alarms. People usually look around and they want to see what everybody else is doing first. That's kind of what happens in the spiritual sense. That's what happens in our natural sense. We want to see if anybody else is responding. You talk to a group of people about Jesus. Let's say you come up to three or four friends and they're walking down the street and you begin talking about the Lord and you finally get to that point of decision. Do you want to repent of your sins and receive Christ as your Savior? And they kind of look at each other like this. And if one person doesn't respond, none of them responds because they're waiting for somebody else to respond. That is a dangerous way to live. But listen, folks, alarms are serious and they should be taken serious, right? They're serious in the natural and they're serious in the spiritual. We must be paying attention to the alarms. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. In August of 2005, Helios Airway Flight 522, it descended. 122 passengers were killed along with the entire crew. It was Boeing 737 that crashed into a mountain that was north of Athens. Why did this happen? Why did this crash take place, killing all 122 passengers and the entire crew that was on board? This is the reason, after they investigated the crash, the pilots ignored the altitude warning horn. The sound, the alarm went off in the cockpit. They looked at it, they turned it off, and they kept flying. And they didn't realize that the warning was serious and it was not a false alarm. They didn't check the altitude. They didn't deploy the oxygen mask, which they're supposed to. Whenever you have this particular warning, the altitude warning, you're supposed to deploy the oxygen masks. And the crash, the result of this was the crash was caused by hypoxia, by a lack of oxygen due to cockpit pressure failure. They could have survived it. They could have made it through if they would have deployed the oxygen mask, but they ignored the warning. They turned it off. Boeing 737 pilots, they not just these, but all the other pilots, many of the other pilots of these types of aircraft, they had been ignoring this alarm for years in their discovery, and they even continued to ignore it after the Helios crash. Think about that. Before the crash took place, they were all ignoring the signs. They were all ignoring the horn. And even after the crash, many of the pilots continued to ignore the alarm, saying, "We're not in trouble." In Russia, a fire broke out, and it killed a lot of people in a nursing home. The night watchman, what took place there was the night watchman ignored two fire alarms before reporting the fire. An alarm went off, he ignored it. A second alarm went off, he ignored it. When it finally went off, he finally, after the third time or so, he finally called the fire department. 62 people died and 35 were injured because he ignored the alarm. Because he ignored it. Now Matthew here is recording Jesus' words. And Jesus said, in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage, all while Noah was building the ark in their sight. All the while he was even sharing with them the reason for building the ark. He received the message from God to build the ark because the people were going to perish. God was going to cleanse the land of the iniquity of and the sins of the people, and he was going to start over. And 2 Peter 2:5 says this. It describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness during that time of building the ark, which was about 120 years. He preached to the people while he built the ark. The word preacher here, many of you know, is the word kadrux, and it means simply to herald a message, someone who announces or shares news. He was called a preacher of righteousness, a herald of righteousness. So what he was doing, he was preaching, he was sharing the impending harm and danger, the impending flood, the impending catastrophe that was going to take place, and the people ignored him. They did not respond. Now, some Jewish scholars, they say that Noah did in fact preach. There's some discussions in the theological realms that whether he actually preached or not, or whether he just built the ark and let the ark be the symbol of judgment and the testimony of what was coming. But in Jewish scholarship, they say Noah in fact did speak or preach or herald the warning to the people. In Jewish tradition, they quote Noah as saying this: Be ye turned from your evil ways and works, lest the waters of the flood come upon you and cut off all the seed of the children of men. That's in the Jewish scholarship studies. This is what they say that Noah actually said. Now, whether he spoke these words or not, the word of God still calls him a preacher of righteousness. So he did share some type of message. He did share in some way to the people of the impending danger that was coming and the death that was going to take place, and yet they ignored it. You see, one of the dangers we live in today, folks, is alarms, warning signals are becoming what we call background noise. We hear so many sounds, we hear so many things in our average day that when we hear an alarm, sometimes we just call it background noise. It's not really capturing our attention. Background and noise are the two key words. We push the alarm to the background of all the rest of the noise, and we also just call it noise, not a warning. That's a dangerous way to live. We live in a world that so much worldly and evil noise. There's so much worldly and evil noise in this world today, and it's coming from so many sources that it can become difficult to recognize or pay attention to the real warnings. And that's what's happening with the culture today. That's what's happening in the world today. People will continue to live in sin even though they hear the warning. They will continue in it. People will continue to practice sin even though they hear the warnings and the consequences of sin. Preachers, they say, are just too legalistic. They're too hard on sin these days, they say. I mean, I've had people say that about my own preaching, about my preaching. That when I deal with certain topics, they say, you're too hard. And some have even left the church because they didn't like the truth of the Word of God. They didn't like how the Word of God was being presented. They thought it was too hard. Preacher, you're too hard on the Word. I just can't sit under that. That's actually happened, folks. They say, God understands. God understands me. God understands how I'm living. God understands it, and He forgives me. Others say this sin isn't that bad. They say my sin isn't as bad as their sin. And so they begin to compare so that they can make their sin not as bad as others. Others say, I prayed that prayer of salvation already. Folks, just because you pray a prayer of salvation doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you said the words out of your mouth, it doesn't mean that you are truly born again. What matters is, did you pray it from the heart? Did you truly confess, repent of your sins, confess them before God? Did you truly turn away from your sins that you might turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness and ask Him to save your soul? If you didn't do those things and you just prayed a prayer, you need to check your salvation. You need to check to see whether you're truly born again. I know people don't like me when I say that. I know there are people in church that don't like it when I say things like that and say, you know, you're being too hard. I prayed the prayer and I'm saved. Listen, folks, you've got to know. The scriptures say, be sure that you're in the faith. Don't let it be a question in your life. The warning bells are sounding today, folks. People can be exposed to so many alarms, safety signals, all kinds of things that they begin to take them for granted. There are all kinds of alarms. What kind of alarms are there? There are burglary alarms. There's fire alarms. There are heat alarms. There are door alarms, motion alarms, garage door alarms. There's backup alarms, height alarms, cell phone alarms, clock alarms. There's all kinds of alarms out there that are sounding every single day, and they are there for a purpose. How many of you set your alarm on your cell phone at night so it'll wake you up in the morning? How many of you hit the snooze button? As soon as you hit the snooze button, you have effectively ignored the alarm, right? And I know people who will set their alarm 45 minutes early or so. I'm not looking at anybody. So that they can begin to wake up. Some people have to wake up slowly, so they set their alarm two or three times, and they know after they get to the third time or so, it's really time to get up. But we condition ourselves, folks, concerning the alarms. We condition ourselves to respond in certain ways. There's so many alarms, folks, it's easy to let them become more of a nuisance than life-saving mechanisms or alarms. They become a nuisance to us. Now, in the spiritual, Matthew 24, Jesus records these words, or Matthew records these words of Jesus. What does He tell us? He says, many will come in My name. That's an alarm. They will deceive many. Folks, the deception that's in the world today is an alarm. It is an alarm that's sounding off today. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. We know that's going on. We're in a constant state of tension, even right now with China. We're in a constant state of tension with other nations, with Iran and other nations, because there are wars and rumors of wars. There are tensions that are built up. What are the other signs? Nation will rise up against nation. Check. Kingdom against kingdom. Check. There will be famines. Check. There will be pestilence. Check. There will be earthquakes. Check. I mean, we can just go down the list. And folks, the signs are there. The alarms are going off. When you look at a study concerning the ring of fire that's out on the West Coast, that goes from China, goes up around and comes down our West Coast, and you take a look at the recent earthquakes and volcanic activity that's going there, you see that it has heated up exponentially. It is heated up. It is active. The entire ring of fire is in a sense exploding with life. It's happening, folks. All these things are taking place. What else did Jesus say? They will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. Check. How many of you remember the ISIS fighters and how they were getting the Christians and they were executing them? They were beheading them. They were drowning them in cages, putting them in cages and lowering them into the water. You saw what they were doing to them, setting them on fire and letting them burn. We see this. It's another check on the alarms that are going on. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. It says, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Check. Folks, in this nation, if you are paying attention, they are isolating the Christians, the believers, and they are trying to force us into silence and trying to force us into non-existence. One of the major elements is California. Just a couple weeks ago, or whenever it was just recently, that the governor of California said within all these particular counties, the church could no longer sing. The church could no longer worship in church. They could no longer do liturgy in church. Basically, he was saying, church, shut up. Church, be quiet. Don't release the sound of your voice. Don't release the sound of your praise. Don't release the sound of your prayers. Don't release the sound of your intercession. Be quiet, church. Now, just recently, he upped that and he said, now the church is going to be suspended from meeting indefinitely. There was no end in sight. Now he's telling the churches that they must be silent, and now they cannot speak. If I had my phone, which is up there, is one of our cameras, you need to look up John MacArthur and you need to read his response that he gave to the governor of California about this mandate. And basically he says, we are the church, you are the state, you cannot mandate us to not meet. And he said, the church does not bow to Caesar. The church does not bow to Caesar. And I want to say that today here for Safford, Arizona. You here and those of you watching by video, the church must not bow to Caesar. We must not bow to their fear tactics. We must not bow to all their sources of evil, to all the innuendos and all the false information that's being put out there. We must bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. Those baseball teams that are out playing today, and how both teams are all kneeling with a black line in front of them, and they're bowing to Black Lives Matter. I want to tell you, I will never watch a baseball game when they bow to things like that. You ought not to either. You ought not to give them credence by saying, I'll still watch you if you do that. I'm not saying black lives do not matter, because black lives do matter, but so do white lives and brown lives and yellow lives. Every life matters to God. Jesus came for us all. He came to seek and save that which is lost. But to single out one group, to single out one ethnicity, to single out one above all the others goes against everything that the Bible talks about. And we ought not to bow to it, and we ought not to watch those who bow to it either. You can get mad at me all you want. I pray everyone who sees this video will capture this. We must not bow down to Caesar. A lot of things that they're putting out today are not even in alignment with the ordinances, with the laws of the land. They are sidestepping the laws of the land, and they are conditioning you and I to be subservient to the government in every aspect. We must not. I'm not saying we don't take care of those who are ill. I'm not saying that we don't take care for those who might be susceptible to the illness or to this. It's a virus. It's not a disease. I hear over and over, they say it's a disease. It's a disease. No, it's a virus. But they are conditioning us with fear. They are conditioning us with these. Folks, the alarms are going off. We need to pay attention and we need to be aware. We must not bow to this world. The alarms are going off. The church must wake up. The church must wake up. The church must wake up. We must not bow down. We must not give in. We need to believe the word of God and stand on the word of God. Boy, I'm telling you, somebody's got to say it. And I know a lot of people are saying it. I'm not alone. I'm thankful for people like John MacArthur who are willing to stand up. It was him and his board, his elder board. They got together and they said, how are we going to respond to this? And they said, this is how we will respond. And the elder board put this together and they sent it to the governor and they said, doubt it. We will not bow to Caesar. The church does not bow to Caesar. And folks, don't you ever forget that. When you leave these doors today, don't go back and serve Caesar again. Be careful, yes. Take precautions, yes. The things that you need to do, yes. I can appreciate people who stay home because their condition is weakened or they have children that they're concerned about. There's certain things. That's okay, but don't let it be a bowing to Caesar. Don't let it be a bowing to Caesar. Said many false prophets will rise up. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. Check. Check. And check. We're seeing the love of many grow cold today. And then he said this. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Check. The gospel has been preached the world over. And you say, well, there might not be missionaries in every world, but the gospel through the internet, the gospel through the media, the gospel through live streaming can reach anywhere in the world. It can go around the world. The gospel is being preached around the world. Check. Somebody say, check. Folks, we need to realize these things are taking place. These things are real. This is Jesus giving us the warning signals. When you see these things, know that you are coming very near to what's coming at the end. He said, when the gospel is preached now around the world, he said, then the end will come. And if these things are being checked off, I want you to know we are at the end. We are at the precipice. We are at the edge, folks. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. He is at the door. He is ready to come. He's waiting for the signal of the Father. We as the church must be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. We must be reaching the lost at any cost. We must be going out and being who God called us to be, who Jesus made us to be. We are disciples of Christ. We are soul winners for Jesus Christ. We must go out and win souls because you can't take your house to heaven. You can't take your car to heaven. You can't take this building to heaven. You can't take anything to heaven except another soul. Except another soul. Folks, we need to get serious. The church must get serious. A few weeks ago in noontime prayer, I believe it was noontime prayer, we were here and I was just over here at these steps just praying. And one word came to my mind. And I began to pray it. And as I began to pray it, it got stronger and stronger in me. And I felt like the Lord said I had to release it. And so just there praying, the only thing I did was I said, awake! People were praying on their own over there. I said, awake! 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 And I said it 3 or 4 times. And that's all God gave me. But it was a message that God was sending to the church, to the body of Christ, to wake up! It was a sounding in the spirit realm. I felt like God was saying, release this into the atmosphere. Release this into the dimension that the spirit can take it and move through this valley. The church needs to wake up. We need to hear the alarm clock. We need to hear the alarm. We cannot hit snooze another time. Too many Christians are snoozing under the alarm of God. They're snoozing under the anointing. They're snoozing under the preaching of the gospel. They're snoozing under the responsibilities that they have, and they keep hitting the snooze button. Break the snooze button. Get rid of it. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. The alarms are going off, folks. Then the end will come. The end will come. What causes the ignoring of the alarms? Well, there's alarm fatigue. There are people that just get tired of hearing alarms. And so they stop listening to it. There's listener fatigue. That's due to prolonged exposure to the noise. You get used to it. How many of you ever gotten used to a noise? At first it irritated you, and then you stayed in that atmosphere long enough, you just began to ignore it enough where it didn't bother you anymore. Folks, I'm telling you, there are people out there that are hearing the gospel and they've heard it, but they've just let it become noise in their ears. Don't ever come to the house of God and let the preaching of the word become noise in your ears. It must be real and it must be alive. There's also apathy. There are a lot of people today that are living in apathy. You hear, but you don't care to react. You can hear the preaching of the gospel that God is reaching out to you as a believer for you to be challenged to move closer to Him, for you to be challenged to respond and obey His word, but you get to the place of apathy and you say, I hear, but I do not respond. Apathy. Other people are living in ignorance, a lack of awareness about what the alarm even means. They hear an alarm and they say, what's that? Because they don't know what the Word of God says. They don't understand what the Word of God says. The lost, they don't understand. They see things happening out there, but they don't understand. It's up to you and I and go explain to them what the alarm is. That is a fire alarm. God is trying to keep you out of the fires of hell. He's trying to keep you out of the lake of fire. He's trying to get you out of your lost condition. It's the alarm that's going off. We need to explain it. There's also distractions. You're so focused or concerned about what you're doing or where you are that it distracts you from hearing anything else. You don't want to hear the alarm because you're too engaged in something. You're too much busy about your own business. You don't have time for His business. All these can be experienced spiritually, folks. They can be experienced. These alarms are meant to wake people out of their sleep. How many of you know an alarm is meant to wake you out of your sleep? It's meant to wake you up out of your daze. How many of you ever drive with a daze? How many of you ever driven down the road and then you kind of remember, how did I get here? You don't even remember driving down a certain stretch of road or a certain amount of road and you get here, man, how did I get here? Because you got into somewhat of a daze and you didn't really understand. You woke up kind of and you're just like, wow, I'm glad I'm still on the road. But you see, people are distracted. You don't even see what's going on. And so we don't hear it. And people are moving in their sleepiness, their apathy, their stupor even. A stupor is a state of near unconsciousness. Can I tell you, there are Christians today that are falling into a stupor, in a semi-unconscious state where it's harder for them to hear the Word of God than ever before because they're too tied to the world and they're not tied enough to Jesus Christ. They've turned their head away. The alarm's meant to wake people out of their routine. An alarm is confrontational, isn't it? It's meant to be confrontational. It's meant to be loud. An alarm isn't an alarm unless it's loud. You know, unless you're somebody like my daughter or son who have sonic ears or something. Because they would put an alarm on their phone. And then they would say, my alarm's going off. And I'm like, what? And they could hear it, but I couldn't hear it. Some kind of a supersonic type of thing. You know, their ears were still good enough. Mine are old and decayed and corrupted. And I couldn't hear those sounds, but they could. And I'm saying, what do you mean? Turn your sound up. They say, I can hear it. But no one else could. It's meant to interrupt. Listen, an alarm is meant to interrupt what you're doing to make you move to a safe place. That's what an alarm is about. When I was at a national convention for the Church of the United Brethren in Christ, the denomination we used to belong to, I was up in Huntington, Indiana for a national conference. Me and another man flew up there to represent Arizona. And we were, I think it was the second day of the conference, business section of the conference. And all of a sudden, an alarm went off. And as soon as the alarm went off, the leadership went up to the front. And they said, we need to get to a safe place. That's a tornado warning. I'd never heard it because we don't have tornadoes around here. But they knew it. And so we all got up and we went down and we crammed ourselves into a hallway. Actually, it was like the kitchen closet or kitchen, whatever it was. It was about 6-8 feet wide and it was long. And all of us in that convention shoved ourselves into that room and shut the door. Because the alarm went off. Thankfully, the tornado, the activity didn't hit where we were at. But it was very close. People don't realize sometimes just how close they are. I believe, folks, with all my heart, that God is sounding alarms today for the church and for the lost. I believe for the church, he's sounding the alarm because we're moving closer and closer to the end of this age. And we must be about his business. I believe he's sounding it for the lost because the time is short. And those who do not heed the gospel, folks, will enter into a time of tribulation such as never been seen on the face of this earth. The lost do not understand the tribulation that's coming. They do not understand the wrath of God. They do not understand the fierceness of his wrath against sin and immorality. They do not understand, and they think everything is going to continue as it is. Real quickly, turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. He says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking in according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? There are people today that are saying Jesus isn't coming. He's not coming right now. Don't worry about it. There are people today that are just discounting all the evidence and all the alarms that are going off. It says, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this, they willfully forget. Listen, they willfully forget. Those who are saying Jesus is not coming yet, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. He's talking about the flood. He's saying, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. And we cannot ignore the signs. We cannot shut our ears to the alarms that are going off. Joel speaks of this in a certain way. In chapter 1, he tells of the people of the chewing locust and the swarming locust and the crawling locust and the consuming locust devastating the land as a judgment on the people. God was trying to get their attention in chapter 1. And then he talks about an invading army whose teeth are the teeth of a lion with fangs of a fierce lion. He's talking about this judgment that is here and the judgment that is coming. He tells the farmers to be ashamed. He tells the vine dressers to wail. He says the crops of the land are destroyed. And then in verse 13, he tells them to mourn for the land. Listen to what he says. He says, gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. He's saying, come, let's get right with God. What is he saying? He's saying then in chapter 2, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. He's talking to the children of Israel and the impending judgment of God that's coming to them. But then he gives the instructions. He gives a call to repentance in verse 12. He says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. with fasting, weeping, with mourning. He says, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. He says, he relents from doing harm. For who knows, listen folks, this is where we're at. Who knows if he will turn and relent on this nation? The judgment that this nation is facing because of its immorality, because of its anarchy towards God, because its rejection of God and refusal to trust God, the things that are going on in this land. Who knows if he, God, will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and drink offering for the Lord your God. Who knows? Why are we praying? Who knows? Why are we praying? Perhaps. Why are we praying? There just might be. Why are we praying? We pray so that God would have mercy on this nation, on this county again, that we might see him move again, that we might see revival and awakening. We pray believing and trusting God. Perhaps he will send another awakening. But folks, if we don't pray, it will not happen. We need to pray. The church must sound the alarm. Must sound the alarm. Judgment is coming, folks. Tribulation is on the way. Judgment is coming. And tribulation is on the way. And it seems today, folks, that things are moving quickly. I don't know if you've known. Let me just give you a list. Who would have thought at the beginning of this year, folks, that a virus would shut the economy down, businesses down, churches down, and the nation as a whole down? Who would have thought at January 20? Who would have thought that the church would be limited in its attendance? Who would have thought that the church would be told that it could not sing or do liturgy? Who would have thought that the church would be put back on a shutdown indefinitely, like I just said, in California? Who would have thought that suddenly there would be a change shortage? Where did this change shortage come from? One day we're spending our dollars and our dimes and our nickels and our quarters, and the next day they say, we can't accept your change because there's a change shortage. If there's a change shortage, why don't you accept my change? You need change? I'll spend all my change. But how can we go into a change shortage from one day to the next when they're minting coin, when they're minting our currency every single day and it's coming out? Why is there suddenly a coin shortage? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Call me ignorant, but I don't believe it. I think I will. Who would have thought that banks would stop giving customers change? Who would have thought that stores would begin to tell customers they had to have exact change or use a debit or credit card? Who would have thought that some stores would begin rounding up sales and say, we can't give you change, and if you don't have the exact change, we're gonna up your charge up to the next dollar, and whatever is over, we're not going to give it back to you or to your account. We're going to give it to a nonprofit organization of our choice. Where do you think that money's going? Who is saying where the money goes? Who's deciding what nonprofit organization it is, and what nonprofit organization is that really representing? Folks, we need to open our eyes and realize that what they're doing is very subversive. It's very demonic. I told my wife, I hope I go into some store and get a whole bunch of stuff. I hope I have a whole basket full, and I go up to the counter and I give them I go pay with it in cash, and they say, I'm sorry, but we don't take change. We're going to round it up, and I can say, you know what? You can have it all back and walk out. I will give it back. I will give it back and I'll go to some other store. And I know that's going to be going on and on, but folks, we are being trained, we're being conditioned. You might not believe it, but I believe it. We are being trained and conditioned to move closer and closer to end time scenarios where there will be no cash being used anymore. It'll be our credit cards, and then from credit cards, it'll be to a system either on your hand or your forehead, just like the Bible says. We are moving that direction. The chip has already been made. The chip that they will insert into your hand or place it on your forehead so they can just scan you instead, not even using a credit card, it is in fact established. It is the size of a grain of salt. It can carry a grain of rice. It can carry all the information about you, all your health records. It can carry all your financial records. It can carry all the information about you that they can scan at any time from any location around the world. People always wondered, how is the Antichrist going to keep track of the entire world? They're going to do it through this system, folks. And it begins by taking away your change. It begins by telling you we don't have enough change. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be fooled. Who would have thought that the world would be caught up in an upheaval? Who would have thought that this nation would see the violence, the anarchy, the insurrection, the hatred, the fascism? Who would have thought we would have seen the defunding of the police force? Who would have thought that we would have seen the destruction of public and private property with little or no consequence? Who would have thought we would have seen it in this nation, in this land? Who would have thought we could see people beating on police officers and getting away with it? Who would have thought that the police would be driven from their own precincts by mobs? Who would have thought that governors and mayors would allow their cities to fall into chaotic disarray and violence and mob rule and thug rule? Who would have thought that mayors would allow this to take place and governors would allow this to take place in their state? Who would have thought it? Who would have thought that murder would increase exponentially in major cities with the elected officials turning a blind eye and or blaming the president like they do for all their other failures? Now governors and mayors are saying the anarchy and the disarray in our cities is the president's fault. How is it the president's fault? How is it his fault when they're telling him you can't come into our cities? When they're telling him we don't want your police, we don't want your force, we don't want you to come in, and then they turn around and blame him. Folks, I'm telling you, we never thought we'd see it in these days. But these are all alarms God is sounding around the world in the United States, alarms that are telling the church, wake up! Wake up! Everybody shout, wake up!
Wake up!
Listen and pay attention to the alarms. Revelation 3:2 talks about it. It says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Think about it. He's telling the church. He's telling the church. He's saying, wake up and strengthen what remains that is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. That's the judgment. That's the warning sign. That's the alarm that went off to this church. Ephesians 5, 14 and 15 says this. He therefore says, awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We must redeem the time. We must redeem the time. Let me finish this up. What about the U.S.? What will be this nation's future? People ask me about that. And I don't know what the end scenarios will be, but let me give you a couple of possibilities. Number one, we will be removed from the world stage. We will be removed from the world stage. That's one possibility. That in order for the one world government to exist, there cannot be one nation that has strength and power. So there's a possibility, a good possibility, that this nation will cease to exist as a strong deterrent around the world. Number two, this nation could remain strong but align itself with Antichrist when he comes. We would align ourselves with Antichrist. Isn't any wonder why we're seeing the nation turn away from Christianity but receiving Islam, receiving Muslims, wanting their religion to be taught in our schools when they say Christianity cannot be taught in our schools? Think about what's happening, folks. Think about what's happening. We are living on the precipice. These are exciting times. These are, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you know what the Word of God says, this is exciting. If you don't know what this Word of God says, you're going to walk in fear. You're going to live in fear. You got to know what it says. We're here. In so many ways, we are here. And folks, we need to wake up and we need to be ready. We need to wake up and we need to be ready. Would you bow your heads? Most important thing right now, the most important thing is that you examine yourself to see whether you are truly in the faith, whether you're truly saved. Not just living on someone else's salvation, not just saying I prayed the prayer and that's good enough, but have you truly, truly turned away from the world and turned to Christ? You cannot hold on to both at the same time. Yes, we still live in this world. Yes, we still have jobs to go to. Yes, we still live in homes and we pay our bills. But folks, we must let go of the things of this world and hold on to Jesus. Examine yourself right now. Are you in the faith? If you say anything else other than His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm His child. If you say something like, I hope so, you need to deal with it. If you say something like, I think so, you need to deal with it. If you say something like, I'm not sure, you need to deal with it. If you say, no, I'm not, you need to deal with it. But folks, you need to deal with it now, today, this moment. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And if you're not sure, if you just want to rededicate, recommit your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I just want to live for you totally, sincerely, committedly, then make that decision. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to know Him. Time is running out. Time is running out. Those of you who are watching by video, the same for you right at your home, wherever you're living, wherever you are right now. You can make this same decision where you're at, but it must be by faith. It must be by faith. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. As we close this message, this is just a simple message response. If you fit any one of those scenarios, you're not sure, you think so, maybe, or no, step out from where you're at and come right now. Don't be ashamed, don't be afraid, don't be embarrassed. If there's a question of any sort, you come and let's make this sure. Let's make this sure. Let's do this now. Is there anyone here that you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity? That there might even be a question in your mind. Folks, the alarms are going off. The alarms are sounding. We need to pay attention. Anyone here, one last time, anyone here, we want to give you that opportunity. Don't be ashamed. Let me tell you something, folks. The last thing you want to do is go to heaven and say, God, I didn't respond because I was embarrassed. God, I didn't respond because I might have been the only one. God, I didn't respond for whatever reason. There is no reason good enough for you not to make sure today. Anyone here? Yes. I understand.
When I was up there behind that pulpit, or behind that piano, God dealt with me. And every time that happens, it's like an adrenaline rush. And I feel like God's dealing with me to say something. While what was good, God was not really saying was to wake up. God has shown, sent His warning signs.
Yes.
He sent His warning signs. They're here. And He said this. He said that we need to, as a congregation, repent. And that there's certain things, that there's certain individuals in this place that hasn't fully recognized those warning signs. And if they haven't recognized that, then they need to realize these things. Because the Bible says in Ezekiel 33 that if you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, their blood is on your hands.
That's right.
And so Jesus is coming back soon. And I was talking with a gentleman yesterday. His name is Napoleon. He ate grass. And he told me that he got saved. And it was due to the witnessing of those on the streets. I used to witness to him a lot, and he said, you attributed to my salvation. He told me that he's backslidden, in a sense. That he said, not totally, but there's something there where he's holding back. And I told him, the warning signs are there. Things are happening
That's
very
right.
fast. And if you're playing games with God, you're going to fall on the wrong side of that fence. And so God does want us to wake up. I just want to confirm what you're preaching tonight.
I appreciate that. That's a confirmation. That's a confirmation. I appreciate that. Yes. Why don't you come on up? I apologize for not getting the mic to you because I do want people to hear it, but I'll try to be better next time.
When you were speaking, the Lord just showed me a picture. As parents, grandparents, we know when we have a baby, we know that if we condition them, if you condition them and they're going to nap and you vacuum and you play music or TV, your kids run around, they get conditioned and it doesn't bother them. They can sleep right through it. But if they're not conditioned to that, they just are awakened so easily and people get upset. Oh, you knocked on the door. You woke up my baby. The government is conditioning us to just go with the flow. Mm-hmm. I just see this subtleness that people don't question. But as believers, he says, be as a little child, or you won't enter the kingdom. So we have to be conditioned in him, not in the world. Mm-hmm. Because right now, if we're not conditioned to hear, and that's what the confirmation was, then we're going to be startled.
Yes.
We think that being without toilet paper or sanitizer is bad. That is nothing. I know in Alaska, we don't have earthquakes and stuff here, but in Alaska, when you have an earthquake and your whole house shimmies this mm-hmm. way and that way and your water starts boiling, it wakes you up. And then you're cut off thinking, wow, if I'm in Alaska and we have another one like in 64 where you're cut off, you're not going to have any supplies at all. And then you think of your family that's down here. Well, that sounds bad, and it destroyed a lot of Anchorage in Alaska. But that's still nothing, because when we're cut off from the Lord, it's not going to be, oh, well, in time we'll rebuild. In time we'll get there. I just feel such an urgency. Don't be conditioned. I know the Lord said this and I kind of joked about it, but it's true. There's free cheese in a mouse trap.
Right.
How do you get a mouse with cheese or bait? We're being baited, people, and we need to wake up, and you better hit your knees, because right. we're running out of time, and those people that are dear to us, they're going to be cut off, and there's not going to be any more help. It's going to be them and eternity.
Amen. I believe the Lord is speaking this morning. I believe he's telling us, wake up. Wake up. That's the word. Listen to the alarms. Be sensitive. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we worship you and we exalt you and we thank you that you are our God. And there is no God but you. And Father, we thank you for the word and how Jesus gave us the warning signs. And Father, when we look at that list, we can just say, check, 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 check. The signs are here. The alarms are going off in the natural and they're going off in the spiritual. God, help us to be sensitive to what is happening in the spiritual. Help us, Father, not to hit those spiritual snooze buttons where we just turn it off for a little bit longer and say, I just want a little bit more time before I start serving Jesus. I want a little bit more time before I really get committed. I want a little more time before I really, truly surrender. Father, that's not salvation at all. Help us to understand, Father, that the alarms are going off and we are the ones that must go out and tell a lost and dying world of what's coming. Father, we thank you for this county. We thank you for this nation. We pray for this nation, Father, that you would have mercy and that you would send another revival, Father. Father, send another revival. A revival of your word. A revival, Father, of anointing. A revival, Father, of the moving of your Holy Spirit. A revival, Father, of souls being swept into the kingdom. For your glory's sake, Father. For your glory's sake. Father, we give you thanks today for your word. I thank you for everyone here, God. Would you bless them? Would you let this word sink deeply into their hearts? Thank you, Father, for all those who are recognized today, Father, with the evangelism course. And I pray, Father, that every one of them be a bold and strong witness for Jesus Christ, that they will be bold as a lion going out into a lost and dying world, sharing the message of hope. Father, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. 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 Lord bless you. Have a great day today in Jesus' name.